I became a Christian when I was 19, but only recently I found out there's so much that I did not know. And salvation is the whole package, and there's so much things in it. And I just recently discovered a bit more. So I just want to share with you, wow. And I know there's still a long way for me to explore and to understand how high, how deep His love in His salvation for us. And you know, the house that I'm living in, some of you have come to my house before. And I found that I've been living in that house for nearly 13 years. But there are some part of the house I never used before. And still, there are some places I never used. I just found that, although I owned the house, but I did not fully enjoy my house. Only during these two years, I started to use. I have a balcony outside my bedroom. And that has been there once I moved in. But I never used it for the first 10 years. Only these 2 years I start using it. I find it is so good. So I spent very good time with the Lord in the morning. Every day, morning I went there. And then I found, why didn't I use it before? And then I found out, wow, although you owned it, you may not know how to enjoy it. So that is about salvation. You know, it's not that you don't have it. But if you don't know you have it, then you can't enjoy it. So with all this testimony this morning, it's really how we can really experience God in our daily life. So we are rich. So Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 14. Oh, is it working? Yeah. So the word dispensation means house management. So it's how God relates to His people in different periods of time. So when I think that as we are born here into this generation, we are not only blessed, we are greatly blessed. We are not only favored, we are highly favored. Amen? Amen. Yes. So in the dispensation of law, let's go back to Moses. So when the Israelites were walking in the wilderness, and God relates to His people with covenant. He's the God of covenant. So He made covenants with people. So the Mosaic covenant is Mount Zion, and we know what happened in Mount Zion, and God gave the law to His people. So in Exodus 24:3, can you see clearly? Is it big enough? It says, when Moses went and told the people all the Lord's word and laws, they responded in one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Big mistake. 7, verse 7. Then he took the book of covenant, that's Moses, took the book of covenant, and read it to the people, and they responded, we will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey. Actually, 3 times in Exodus, they said the same thing. And they didn't know what they were speaking. Everything. What's mean by everything? That means if you fail one, you fail all. So it's not only 10 commandments. So some Bible scholar told us there are 613 other commandments that you have to keep. So if you miss one, then you miss all. So but the people said, we will do everything the Lord told us. So they are bound themselves into a covenant of law. So that was the time that God related to His people. If you do His law, if you up to His standard, you are blessed. If you fail, you are cursed. So in Moses, there's a prayer from Moses in Exodus 34:9. And that was after the second set of stone tablets, the 10 commandments, the first 10 commandments. Moses was the one who broke it, right? He says, break it when he saw the Israelites were worshipping the golden calf, right? You knew the story. So this was the second set. And Moses prayed, Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, we have already got favor today. Then let the Lord go with us. So Moses was asking for your presence. And that's what we're enjoying today. Although this is a stiff-necked people like us, forgive our wickedness and our sin. So Moses was asking for forgiveness, and that's what we have enjoyed today, and take us as your inheritance. So what Moses prayed for was what we can pray from today. Because we have got the favor of God, we got the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Once you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is living in you. He will never ever leave you. We already have His presence. That's why in the counter of the custom, He is with you. In the youth camp, He is with you. Wherever you are, He is with you. And He has forgiven us our past, present, and future. Eternal past and eternal future is covered all. So we have already received it. And we are His inheritance. And we receive Him as our inheritance. And the amazing thing is we are His inheritance. So that's what Moses, the great man of God, prayed for. And we will enjoy all these benefits today simply because we are in another covenant. So Peter, the disciple of Jesus, in his old age, and he said this, concerning the salvation, this salvation, the salvation that we received, the prophets, who were the prophets? Can you just, who were the prophets? Just name a few. Elijah, Isaiah, huh? Moses, huh? Yes, Jeremiah, yes, yes, all these prophets, right? They wrote the Old Testament of the Bible. And who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, to us. Search intensely and with greatest care. They really look into it. They're doing a PhD degree on this. They really look into it, investigate into it, and try to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them were pointing when they predicted the suffering of the Messiah and the glories that would come. So in the Old Testament, the prophets were writing about the time that we are enjoying today. Isn't it amazing? And not only the suffering of Messiah, but also the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but we, us, when they spoke the things that they have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. So the salvation is for us human beings, not even for angels. We failed, but the angel also failed. But angel did not receive the salvation that we received. That's why even the angel were looking at us with jealous eyes. How come God did so much for these people? And we are the one, we are the recipient of this, we are the beneficiaries of what He has done. Amen. So we are amazingly, we are in the dispensation of God's grace. That's where we are living in. So it's unmerited favor. So grace, the Greek word, means unmerited, unearned, undeserved. So as our brother just shared, it's not about us. This year is not about us. Turn our eyes to Jesus. Amen. You see Him. Yes. He is our supplier. He is our provider. He is our good Father. So we are rich. And our riches in Christ was planned by the Father. Yes. He planned it. It's not from us. Purchased by the Son. Presented by the Holy Spirit. God is a triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're working together. Yes. Triple P. All right, those who know parenting, there's a triple P parenting. It's planned by the Father, purchased by the Son, and presented by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's look at verse 3 of Ephesians 1. I need your help. Can I get the men or brothers read the red words? And our sister read the blue word. Is that okay? And then I'll read the black one. So what the brothers say with the red word is what God has done. All right, it's what He did. And the blue one is where He did it. Okay? All right, thanks for your help. Let's start. Praise to be to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings for He, before the creation of the world, and blameless in his sight, in love, in accordance with his pleasure and will, Eudokia, to the praise of the glorious grace which
is the one he loves.
Oh, thank you very much. So as we see what God has done and when he did it, in Christ, in Jesus, in the one he loved. To summarize it, God takes pleasure. It is his good pleasure to do it. God did not see us, these people so miserable, very sympathetic to them. No. God was not like that. God loved us. It is his good intent. He wants to do it. He enjoyed doing it.
Amen.
And he likes doing it.
Yes.
All right? So this is his pleasure, and he takes pleasure in doing it.
Yes.
So as you see, the parents love their children. All right? Even they ask very silly questions, and you just enjoy answering it. All right? So that is our Father's heart for us. So he chose us and set us apart. To be holy is really set us apart. Before we were born, he already chose us before the foundation of the world. So it is his choice. So salvation starts from God. Didn't have start from us. And he adopted us as sons and daughters. So when we think of adoption in our Western mind, we think of, we adopt children when they were baby or very young, right? Sometimes we grow up the baby and they don't even know their adopted parents were not their biological parents. But in the time that Paul wrote Ephesians, it was, the society was not like that. So if under Roman Empire, there were 1/3 of the population were slaves. So some of the masters, if they like their slaves, and they can adopt them as their sons. So maybe they don't have an heir, they don't have children, and they adopt the slaves to be their son. So imagine if you were the slave, overnight you change status, and you're entitled to all the benefits of the master. So when Paul wrote, he adopted his sons and daughters, he's putting us on an adult standing as far as inheritance is concerned, so that we can have the immediate access to our inheritance. Isn't it great? So we have our friend E today. She's sitting among us, and she just believed Jesus a few days ago.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, we have an access, immediate access to the inheritance.
Yes.
You don't need to grow, I'm still a baby Christian, and I need to grow, I don't know when to be like so and so. No, God, once you change status, once you change from a slave to a son, you're entitled immediately. Immediate access to our inheritance the Father has for us. Isn't it great? So it's about what you believe. It's about where you stand. So our inheritance also has a future aspect. So today, if someone believes in Jesus, well, brother and sister may know when we share. When I came in this morning, a brother, Anton, spoke to me that we are radiating the love of God to each other. Somehow, we have a spiritual wave that connecting each other. And he will be one of them. You'll get caught in this wave. And one day, even the world will see our inheritance when Jesus comes back. When he comes back, we will all change. We will rise against the gravity and to meet the Lord. One day, even the world will see our inheritance. So he placed us in a position of highly favored as he placed us in his beloved son, Jesus. Right? Just now the sister read the through part. In the beloved. And that's where God, our God Father, placed us in the position of highly favored because of his son. He put us in his son. Isn't it great? So that's what the Father. Now let's look at the son. Alright? So here's, can you all read the red part first? Read the red part.
We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Great, thank you. That's what Jesus purchased for us. Okay, how about you read the blue words together?
In accordance with the riches of God's grace.
Yeah?
According to his good pleasure. According to the plan of
him. Hallelujah. Thank you. According to his good pleasure. According to his riches of God's grace. According to his plan. Everything is according to his. Everything is from him. According to his, not according to us. So in him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding. So salvation is God's wisdom and understanding. It's God's wisdom, God's understanding. And three of them work together, the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And we are part of it. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. The term of slavery to us is quite distant, right? Because we don't have slavery. We don't have that practice anymore. It's not coming, okay. The word redemption, we don't use as often in our secular world, right? We mostly use it when we talk about our salvation. But the word redemption in those days, the slaves were treated not even like an animal nowadays, isn't it? Our animal get better treatment than a slave at that time. And so for a slave to be redeemed, someone have to pay a high price to buy him back. And some good masters, they'll spend a lot of money to buy the slaves and then set them free. So that is what I mean by redemption. A price was paid and to be set free. And Jesus, he paid the full price to buy us back and then set us free. Hallelujah. What did he set us free from? Let's have a look. In Hebrew it says, he freed those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Were you fear of death?
I'm one of them.
You are one of them.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Today, in today's term, the fear of death can be manifest in different ways, like worry, anxiety, and many illnesses. So even like OCD, or some mental illness, obsessive compulsive behavior. So even I have clients, they wash their hands. So before you go to eat, do you wash your hands? You do, right? I do. So they wash their hands, they use the soap, wash the hand, and dry the hand. And they said, no, I have to wash it again. So they turn on the tap again, wash the hand, and use the soap, and then dry it again. And they said, no, it's still not clean enough. So they have to do it again. And then after that, and then they walk out of the bathroom, no, I have to do it again. So they go back and turn on the tap and then do it again. So they do it 10, 12 times before they eat. So this is the kind of OCD. So I asked them, why do you do it so many times? Yes, because otherwise my hands will not be clean enough. Well, why not? So if your hand is not clean enough, then what will happen? Then take food, I will eat the germs in my body. And then what will happen? Then I'll be sick. Then if you're sick, then what will happen? Then I'll die. So that's why you have to keep on washing your hand, because it's fear of death. All right? So this is only some of the example that we are under such a bondage, and it can be manifested in all kind of illness. And thanks Jesus.
Amen.
He set us free from fear of death. So in Jesus Christ, no more fear. Perfect love. drive away fear. Praise the Lord. And we are free from the slavery of sin. In Romans 6:10, he says, the death he died, Jesus died, he died to sin once for all. All our sins, including our sinful nature, died with Jesus. That's why John say, no one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. So anyone born of God, we have a new seed in us. And all the old has gone and the new has come. And in Colossians 1:13 it says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into another kingdom, that is the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his Son. So once we receive Jesus into our heart as he is our Savior, we transfer kingdom straight away. Yes. Isn't it good?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He also set us free. Remember, we are still talking about redemption. He paid the price and set us free. Free from law and condemnation. So many people are still suffering a lot of depression. Some of the depression, of course, is condemnation. They feel condemned, they feel guilty, they feel lots of accusation. So thanks God, through what Jesus has done on the cross for us, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free, set me free from the law of sin and death. So in Jesus Christ, he set us free from the law and condemnation. And he set us free from the slavery to sonship. So Galatians, when the set time has fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. And when we might receive adoption to sonship, because you are his sons, God sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts. And the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. You are God's sons and daughters. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Aren't you rich? We are co-heir with Jesus. Sons are rich, slaves are poor. And sin made us poor, but grace made us rich. And we are living in the dispensation of God's grace. So we are rich. Since sin came into the world, everything fell apart. When sin came into the world, the first separation is separation between God and man. Right? In this Garden of Eden, this happened. And before the sin, Adam said to the woman, oh, I love you. This is my bone of bone, my flesh of flesh. After sin, what happened? What happened? The woman you gave. All right, it's your problem. All right, it's her problem. All right, and the woman said, no, it's the snake's problem. So they are blaming each other. So you can see separation in marriage, and we still see it today. A lot of separation between husband and wife, families, relationship breaking down since sin came in. And even brothers fighting each other, right? We see in the second generation in Abel and Cain, all right? And we see it even today. So sin really separates people, and we praise God. Forgiveness of sins. He forgave our sin. He solved the problem for us. In according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. Jesus took our punishment on his body. Thank you for our brother sharing the vision that he saw. All the shame, all the guilt went into the body of Jesus. He took the punishment on his body so that we can be forever forgiven. Hallelujah. And double jeopardy is even today, a criminal cannot be punished twice for the same crime. All right, so all our sins was punished on Jesus' body. He took it. That's why God will not come after us, because it cannot be punished twice. So our sins are fully paid for. That's why we are so cleaned. So through Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, he united everything under the headship of Jesus Christ. Through him, he pulled down. Just now we talked about sin separate. But through his cross, he pulled down the difference between Jews and Gentiles. This is the biggest racial gap in human life, in human beings' history. Is that Jews and Gentiles? Jews will see Gentiles as dogs, right? They won't eat with Gentiles. That's why it's so hard for the first century for the Christians to change, for the Jewish Christians to change their mind. It is so hard. But thank you, the greatest barrier has been pulled down by Jesus dying on the cross. All the racial differences, cultural differences, gender differences, social class differences in his church. Not only our church, but every born-again Christian. That is the new creation that Jesus made. There's no difference, no separation. And the world separate people, but his church, the new creation that Jesus died for, unite people under Christ. Isn't it great? And we are part of it. And because our sins are forgiven, the blood of Jesus cleanses us, cleanses your heart, cleanses my heart, so clean that Jesus went, wow, this is a nice place to live in. And the Holy Spirit lived in our hearts. So clean to a point, God is happy to dwell in our heart, dwell in our spirit, and taking your body as his temple. So today we have mobile temple of God. Wherever we go, we carry God with us. Hallelujah. So that is what the Holy Spirit has done for us. So you also were included in Christ. And as far as the Father is concerned, you were saved when he chose you. He chose you, set you apart in Christ. As far as the Father is concerned, you were saved at that time. As far as the Son, Jesus, was concerned, when he died on the cross, he paid for your sin before you were born. As far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, you may say, oh no, someone, my friend brought me to the church, my friend brought me to Christ. So as far as you're concerned, you say, oh, that's what happened to me. You didn't know you were already, much, much earlier, you were already chosen. Amen. And when Jesus died, he already paid for your sin. But you just know now. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit, because when you heard the message of truth, someday, somewhere, you heard the message of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Somehow, somewhere, the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, and you start to believe. So when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Yes. When you believe, you may not know. Oh, I just end up here, just like our friend. Oh, I don't know. The first time our friend came from Japan to Australia. She didn't know, end up in a Christian home. She didn't know that she, to spend the first 2 months in a Christian home. Yeah. I never knew her before, she never knew me before. But that is the work of the Holy Spirit. He moved, because he loves you. And he, when he lives in your heart, he seals you with the Holy Spirit, and is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Yes. So a seal, even today, if you buy a house or you buy something important, a legal document, you sign it, and then you put a seal. That means transaction finished, and it's legal, and it's effective. And the house belongs to you, so you have the house deed. All right, so all the paperwork is done, so that's yours. So it talks about ownership and security, and everything is yours now. So when the Holy Spirit living in us, we know that we belong to Him. And we know that one day when Jesus comes back, we will see the full redemption.
Yes.
We will experience the full redemption.
Yes.
And today He already put the down payment.
Yeah.
The down payment is already in us. So with the seal of the Holy Spirit, we were given the down payment and we were fully redeemed when Christ returned. And we're looking forward to that. So to the praise of the glory of His grace, the triune God planned and He worked, three of them worked in unity to accomplish the salvation for whom? For us. So long before we knew Him, He already knew us. And all our riches come by God's grace and for His glory. So we often think, oh, what can I do to glorify God? Do you have these thoughts? What can I do to glorify God? So I always have this thought, but now I found out, just like our brother Abel shared, it's not I pursue God, it's He pursue me. I tell you what you can do. Actually, none of your work can please Him. But when you believe, then please Him. So when we believe right, then please Him, because that is his well pleasure. This bring Him much pleasure when we believe what He has done for us. That will glorify God. So our work cannot glorify God, but our belief can glorify God. Right, so we just need to believe right. And all the creation, when we read our Genesis chapter 1, the creation speaks the power of God, but only through His Son, His church, speak of His love and His grace to us. And we are in the middle of it. Aren't we blessed?
Yes.
Aren't we rich?
Yes.
Yes, we are. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Right, thank you. Thank you very much. So how about we just have prayer and have a time of praise? If you want to praise God, just shout out, okay? Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for blessing us so richly. Lord, we thank You for the great salvation that we received.
Yes.
Lord, we thank You, even the prophets, they talk about it under the leading of the Spirit of Christ, but we are the fulfillment of all that in Your mind now comes true to us. Father, we are so blessed. Lord, we are really greatly blessed people. We are highly favored people because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Lord, we are so thankful. Father God, we thank You and we praise You. Lord, we continue to look to You to open our eyes to see the fullness of salvation. And we will experience it in every area of our life. Our health, our finance, our relationship, every part of our life. Lord, we know You care for us. Father, we praise You and we thank You. Lord, we are Your masterpiece. The church speak of Your love and Your grace. And to You be the glory. As we experience that, we will praise the glorious Father of Your grace. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank You.